This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And good morning, and the good news is it isn't raining. My God. And Charlie, good morning.
Good morning, and there's no rain in the forecast until tomorrow night.
Oh, really?
So we've got a 36-hour window here to get outside and enjoy
Holy
some
mackerel.
Dry
Yeah,
we've
had it with the rain, I'm telling you.
Just be happy you don't live on the island.
Oh, brother, yeah.
Or near any body of water.
How long can you tread water? You know, that's what it is over there right now. Anyway.
Well, I guess you could fish for your lunch off the porch, anyway.
Yeah, ain't that a bad idea. A lot of carp, I understand, caught in puddles.
I know.
Yikes. Anyway, here we are at the Garden Show, underway here from Zoomer Radio. And by the way, it's a big day here at the station because at the Zoomerplex, we're open for Doors Open.
That's right. Doors Open Toronto is today and tomorrow.
Yep.
And we're open.
But today is the day for us.
Oh, is it?
I believe it's just today.
Just today? Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, there's lots of people here and lots going on, so come on down.
Check us out. All righty. Let me get the phone numbers on the air for those who have a garden question. By all means, give us a call. Talk to Charlie. Here in Toronto, it's 416-360-0740. Anywhere else in the province, 1-866-740-4740, a toll-free line. Remember our little mantra, please. One question per call early, call often. One question per call. And if you're a first-time caller, let Sebastian know. And when you come to the air, you'll hear that. A little gardening wings you'll get.
That's right. The bell. Yeah. The bell is your reward for making
right.
that call and getting your wings so that you'll just have that much more fun in the garden.
And I'll ask you to be patient and kind to me today because, my birthday was on Thursday, but we had the whole gang of my family out on last night to the farm there. And
partied your little
Well, you
buns
know, there was
off,
a lot of toasting going on. So if I'm not up to speed, it's going to take me a while maybe to recover, you know?
Well, you know, we don't put a lot of demands on you on the garden show. So I'm hoping you'll be able to, you know, give the numbers and sign in and sign out and all that important
stuff.
And unless want to try and, you know, take some answers.
No.
Come on. I need a break sometimes too, you know. But really, really happy birthday to you.
Yeah, it was fun.
Significant. We both had significant birthdays this year.
Yeah, 75.
Getting better all the time.
Yep.
Older and wiser.
Well, older. It's not the number that counts. It's the fact that you can keep counting.
You know? that you can remember it.
What do we got there, Charlie, on the announced shift?
Lots going on. You know that. So, tomorrow, the Hamilton and Burlington Rose Society is meeting at 2 o'clock at the Royal Botanical Gardens Center, 680 Plains Road West in Burlington, in room number 3. This is a workshop led by expert rose growers and showers and is entitled Floral Design Demo and Rose Show Tips on Exhibiting and Answers to All Those Rose Dilemmas. It is in preparation for the June 24th and 25th Rose Show. So put that on your calendar because that Rose Show is really knock your socks off kind of an event. Of course, everyone is welcome to this demonstration tomorrow at 2 o'clock. No entrance fee, of course, no parking or anything. Something special that's going on at the Toronto Botanical Gardens is the Woman to Woman Garden Party. It's a lovely lunch in the garden. It takes place this Tuesday, May the 30th. There's garden talks, there's demos, there's amazing food. It's a major fundraiser for the Toronto Botanical Gardens. I will be there as one of the garden gurus, if you will, answering questions and sitting at a table with some of the special guests to the event. And, it's just so much. And, hopefully the weather's going to be great, but even if it's not, there are tents and there's, you know, if it rains a bit, we're protected from the elements, but we're out in the garden through the entire afternoon. So that's going to be just beautiful. So please come to that if you can. A garden that I've mentioned in the past is called Whistling Gardens.
Oh, yes. I remember you talking
about
this.
Yeah. And I think, didn't we have Darren? Darren Heinbecker was on the show at one time. So, like, he's a very special person, all right? He had this dream about building and creating a botanical garden. So in the middle of almost nowhere, but it's not really nowhere, but it's kind of off the beaten track, he did just that. He proceeded over the last 30 years to create a botanical gardens. Him, his wife, his team, they are celebrating the Whistling Gardens Peony Festival. Runs from May 28th till June 30th. So you've got the whole entire month of June. They're celebrating North America's largest public peony collection.
No kidding.
1,000 plus varieties. So if you're a peony person, you might want to go and check out the 1,000 plus varieties that are happening at Whistling Gardens this next month.
How can you get directions?
Well, they're located at the what's called New Highway 24 and 403, but there's now new signage up on the highways to help you find Whistling Gardens. It is a one-of-a-kind experience. So best way to get best instructions for you is just go to the website, www.whistlinggardens.ca. So Whistling Gardens, one word, .ca. And there's all kinds of events all summer. June the 3rd, the Harrison Horticultural Society is hosting a garden festival featuring annuals, perennials, shrubs, hanging baskets, garden accents, master gardeners, and food. It's all happening at the Harrison Community Center, 11 George Street, open from 8 a.m. till 2 p.m., free admission.
Excellent.
Is that okay? Shall I stop?
Better than okay. Actually, yeah, we have to kind of cool it for a moment.
Yep.
We're at 9:13 here on the Garden Show from the Zoomerplex in Liberty Village, and we've got folks lined up already. In fact, two of our calls that are on the monitor in front of me here are first-time callers.
Nice.
We'll be along, though, to speak
to some...
Get
your arm loosened up there, buddy.
Indeed. Sandra from South Etobicoke is coming up next, though, after we return after these words.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, we're joined right now online from South Etobicoke. Sandra. Hi, good morning, Sandra.
Good morning, Charlie. Good morning, Frank. Sorry, you're feeling a little...
No, I'm okay.
Fine. I'm taking him out for some, you know, mimosas or a little the hair of the dog that bit him later, so he'll be fine.
That sounds good. My question is about my gooseberry bush. Years ago, we had that late frost and it killed the flowers.
Okay.
Ever since then, it hasn't flowered properly. This year, I think there were no flowers at all. It looks incredibly healthy. It's about 4.5 feet high by 3 feet wide. It's probably coming up to around 20 years old.
Oh, my.
Thinking, is this the time that I take it out?
No, not necessarily. What about pruning? Do you ever prune that?
Yes, I do.
You do, eh? And do you prune it like... The trick with gooseberries is you want to prune from the ground, at ground level. You want to prune out the older stems. So, and you know the older ones because they're the thicker stems, and also the bark is kind of peeling on the plants, on those stems.
I don't take those out. I do create the air in the center because I believe they like air to...
True, to avoid mildew, yep.
So it never gets mildew. I mean, it just looks so incredibly healthy. Hmm.
But no flowers.
No flowers.
Well, so I'm just wondering if maybe what you've got there is so much old wood that it's ending up with non-fruiting spurs, if you will. Because that's the thing with the bushes, the fruit, any of the currants, the gooseberries, et cetera, is pruning old wood, always encouraging new wood. So at any one time, the only branches that are on that plant should be only up to 3 years old. So you'd have... 1, 2, 3 years, and this being the fourth year would be that the new shoots coming up this year. So anything older than 3 years old should have been removed and is removed annually. Fertilizer doesn't sound like it's a big deal if it's looking so green and bushy and huge.
It gets compost.
Yeah, that's good. Sunshine, avoiding insects and diseases is important, but I'd be inclined to think about the pruning. There is a good, like OMAFRA, the Ontario Ministry of Agriculture and Food and Rural Affairs, has a fact sheet called Currants and Gooseberries, which might be of interest to you to just give it a peek. It's just under OMAFRA, so that's the, you know, the acronym for the Ontario Ministry of Agriculture, Food and Rural Affairs, .gov.on.ca. And then it's under crops. And just, or just Google it. Just Google Gooseberries Ontario, and you'll see that something will come up that's a government fact sheet. Might help you just in terms of some little detail. I don't think of gooseberries as getting too old for their to bear fruit, though. They, you know, they're good for a long, long time as long as they're maintained.
That's what I thought. And it was yielding, you know, maybe 12, 13, 14 pounds of fruit.
Yeah, I bet. You know, when they're happy, they're really happy.
Very productive.
Yeah.
For the last 3 years.
Yeah, well, it's odd.
Nothing.
Well, that, you know, that late frost can do it for 1 year, but it shouldn't have affected, you know, subsequent years.
That's what I thought. When should I prune out the old wood?
Very early spring. Late winter, early spring.
Say now to do anything for next year.
Correct. I wouldn't probably do anything too radical this year. If you could take out, if there's, you know, if you're going to, if you haven't done any pruning yet this year, I would look down at base level. Perhaps you could take out a couple of the older stems, but I wouldn't do anything too
right,
massive right now. I'd wait until next sort of March.
Okay. Alrighty.
So just when it looks like it's going to bud?
Exactly. Yep, that's the right time.
Okay, thank you very much.
All righty, thank
calling.
You, Sandra. Yeah, indeed. 9:20. Let's get my bell-ringing arm in shape here. Hey, that's for Josie in Scarborough, first-time caller. Hi, Josie. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hi, Craig.
Good morning.
And Charlie. I'm calling about my Lily of the Valley.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bed. It's been there for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And some years back, something's messed with the plants, and it killed off about half of them, like I think an animal or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're rejuvenating,
mm-hmm.
but in the wrong place. They're coming into the lawn.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a fair number of them, and I really like to keep them. Is it possible to transplant them?
The problem is if you do transplant them, it's going to be hard to not take a lawn with them. And you sure don't want to be planting a lawn into your garden.
No.
So I wonder, so the area where they died out, that has not rejuvenated so much? Is that still a naked patch?
Well, there are some, but very sparse. And I tend to think it might have been, I don't know, maybe a skunk or a raccoon came in that way and flattened them all down, you know, that type of damage.
Well, raccoons are just oblivious of plants. They'll just walk right over anything.
Well, they charge right through.
Nuts.
And it was very skimpy, didn't come back.
Mm.
But this year, they just totally rejuvenated.
Not where you want them.
They're growing in the wrong direction.
I mean, you can. It would be some work. You know, you getting your spade, you would lift, you know, dig out that chunks of sod with the Lily of the Valley part of it.
Uh-huh.
You know, be sitting down or comfortable on the ground to do this.
Yeah.
Once you've lifted out those chunks, and they don't have to be huge, you know, might be a 1 foot by 1 foot square of sod you'd pick up.
Yeah.
And then you would just literally with your fingers peel out the Lily of the Valley. Like they will come out as little individuals.
Oh.
Ultimately, you're going to put the sod back where you took it out from,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to take those little pips, if you want to call them that,
I've seen the way the roots grow.
Yeah, and then you'll just go over to where you do want them, rough up or, you know, shake up that soil a bit, maybe add a little compost, make it a happy place for the new plants to just be popped in, and they should take off pretty easily. This is certainly perfect weather for the kind, you know, it's cool, it's moist, wonderful for doing any kind of transplanting or dividing still.
So they're blooming very nicely now.
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
So are there any time they're finished blooming, do I have to wait till they're finished blooming, or should I do it right away?
You could. The weather is with you to do it now, but it will limit the blooms. So that just means you'll have fewer blooms this year than you would have wanted for next year, because technically you should cut off the blooms of whatever ones you are popping out and moving.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah, okay. But next year they should be fine.
Oh, that's great. No, well, maybe I'll give it a try. It's worthwhile.
Yeah, well, today's going to be a nice day, no rain.
Yeah, because they do smell nice.
They're the best.
Yeah.
So that's wonderful, then.
Thank you for joining us, Josie. Thank you. 9:23, The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio, AM 740 and 96.7 FM in downtown Toronto. Another first-time caller coming up in moments.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, let's welcome from Barry, first-time caller, Carol. There
hey,
you are, Carol.
Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much for taking my call.
What's going on?
Mainly, it's the yucca plant, and it's doing it now on the angel trumpet. It's brown spots showing on the leaves.
Mm-hmm.
They're brown on the outside ring, yeah, and then a lighter golden brown on the inside.
Right. And that is an indication of how much rain we've been having. That's what that is. That's high humidity. That's the beginning of fungus. You know, the little spores have landed there and they've been able to germinate and start to grow. Now, they are not, there's no fungus that's going to annihilate or kill your yucca or your angel trumpet, providing they have adequate drainage for the plants. Both, there's two good examples of plants that like well-drained soil. So if you happen to be have placed the yucca or the angel trumpet, properly known as datura, into a low-lying area of the garden where water tends to collect, then the plants could suffer from just soggy soil and lack of drainage. But otherwise, yeah, it's a superficial, not very sightly, you know, spots.
I cut off the laying down leaves on the yucca plant.
That's fine.
They're not supposed to lay down. They stand up straight.
Yeah, there's the older leaves always at the very outside, lower, and they do tend to lie flat, exactly.
So cutting off the laying flat leaves would be better.
Yeah, that's fine. You can cut those off. I tend to leave leaves alone if there's green. If they're predominantly brown, then they're, you know, on their way out,
Lower ones were turning yellow.
Yeah, yeah, and they were in the process of senescing or finishing and allowing all that new growth to pop through in the center of the plant. But yeah, a little leaf blight is what you've got going on there. There's nothing really you can do other than ensure, you know, adequate air circulation. Like I said, well, good proper drainage and pray for sun.
And no fertilizer other than compost and manure?
Well, compost and manure are wonderful and are adequate. I probably wouldn't add more fertilizer on top of those amendments. But if a month or so from now you wanted to add some flowering plant fertilizer, something like a 15-30-15, particularly on the angel trumpet, just to encourage those flowers, that would be fine.
Okay, well, thank you very much for taking my call. I appreciate your assistance.
Our pleasure.
Welcome, Carol.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you very much.
929 here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio. And Charlie, of course, accepting your calls in Toronto, 416-360-0740. Anywhere else in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. I'm Frank Proctor, the sous chef of The Garden. Always delighted to sit beside Charlie as we do the show here. Hey, from Milton, it's Rosa. Hi, Rosa.
Good morning. Good morning, Charlie. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call. My problem is with orchids.
Mm-hmm.
I've got three of them, but only one of them I'm going to ask you about. Now, I called them worms. I don't know what they are. Are those roots?
Yeah, they are. Leave them alone.
Don't touch them.
Don't touch them.
But one of them is so long.
I know. They're really, they can look kind of insidious, can't they?
Yes. It's getting
creeping.
Like it takes over the beauty of it.
Well, you know, from an orchid's perspective, those roots are pretty beautiful.
And then don't try to maybe curl it and put it back into the pot.
No.
Oh, my God.
I know. It is. But, you know, maybe it's telling you. So the orchid where you've got the serious root action, is that a plant that hasn't been potted up to a big pot for a number of years, or is it a fairly new plant?
Well, it's a fairly new plant because it was gifted to me.
Okay, yeah, so it's probably not that. You know, that's what orchids do. I mean, you've got to remember, orchids are not a plant that typically grows out of the ground. They are a plant that grow out of the crotches of trees or little nooks and crannies and in decaying wood, etc. So they're not big on deep soil. They are very big on using their roots and their leaves to get everything they need. They get moisture, they get a certain amount of nutrient even out of the air, and that's what those roots are doing.
Okay.
Yeah, so don't be mean to them.
Don't.
And a healthy root should be green, it should be firm, and the tip is silver.
Oh, no, this is not that. It's white.
Okay, well, it's the whole thing is white?
Pardon me?
The whole thing or just the tip?
It's white.
Is it wrinkled up in white?
No, it's straight out like a bullet, Diomio.
Oh,
yeah,
white.
So it's weird.
That is weird.
Yes.
White is weird.
Wrong.
If it's whole, well, unless it was green and it's faded to white. But usually if it's gone white, it would be wrinkled and you know, dying.
No, this is just a, it's just having a lot of fun. Keep growing.
But if, see, the white should turn green in the presence of the sunshine, just because that's the way it works. Sun beats down and chloroplasts photosynthesize.
Okay.
So
and
they
also
turn
has
it green.
Now, I'm actually going to get another flower from it, right?
Nice.
So that was initially leaning over and curling up. So what I did was I put a stick on it,
yep,
and then I attached it, and that's okay?
Fine. Yeah, it's fine, because the flower stems do need to be supported, so
okay,
they do need to be staked. So in terms of this white root, if you have a phone that takes, or a camera, why not take me a picture and email it to me, and I can take a look at what's going on there.
I'm computer illiterate.
Oh, okay. Well,
otherwise, I would have went to, everybody says to me, Rosa, go on the computer and ask Google. And I said,
Google.
Okay, sure, and I'm not going to tell them I don't know what they're talking about.
Well, do you have a camera you can take, like, an old-fashioned photograph and just mail it to me?
Okay, then I just might.
All right.
Sure.
I'd like to see this, because that's unusual. Something that's white and alive is unusual. And typically should be green.
Okay.
You get a piece of paper and pencil handy, Rosa, okay? Because Charlie, I know, has the address. I don't have that off the top of my head. I know it's 70 Jefferson Street here in Toronto.
70 Jefferson Avenue. Toronto, M6K1Y4. Is
excellent.
What I might do, my
mailing.
Son, he's computer.
There you go.
Oh, there you go.
He'll do this for
okay.
me.
Okay.
So then what do I say to him then?
Just say, email Charlie, and here is her email address. It's c.dobbin, D-O-B-B-I-N, at mzmedia.com. There you go. And there's the helpful little word for Rosa out there.
Thank
in
you.
Milton. Let me see. Oh, hey, we're off to Pickering right now at 9:34 to Cindy. Good morning, Cindy. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Morning.
And I'm sorry, but growing like a tall tree, good as gold, sing a happy birthday to a year old. Can't resist.
That's great. Thank
perfect.
You.
I love
thank
it.
You.
Yeah. I'm phoning about my candelabra cactus.
Mm-hmm.
It's now 28 inches tall.
Mm-hmm.
It's in a pot that's 6 inches in diameter and 8 inches tall.
Mm-hmm.
Do I need to repot?
Okay, so if you pick up that pot and you look at the drainage holes at the bottom, do you see roots?
No.
Okay, because that is your indication that it is time to replant, to transplant up to a bigger pot. However, at some point that plant is going to be so top heavy, it's going to start, you know, falling over.
Yeah.
When you do, well, for now, I assume it's in a plastic pot. So what I would do is I would have that plastic pot in a ceramic over pot. So something that's heavy or, you know, metal, something that's a heavy, what we call a cash pot or an over pot. So the plastic sits inside something that is heavy and stabilizes, makes the whole plant bottom heavy.
Yes, I have.
And at some point, it could be next spring, perhaps, because they are, you know, small roots and we don't want to pot them up any sooner than we need to because it's very shocking to do this. But best time to do it is the spring or early summer to pot up to the next size, only one size up, right? So if it's in a 6-inch, we go to an 8-inch. If it's 8-inch, we go to a 10-inch. But you could go into a clay pot next time. So that's the terracotta clay. Excellent with any of the cacti or succulents because it allows excellent drainage. It's hard to overwater when we're in those kind of pots. Plus, they're bottom heavy. So it helps with that stability that often can be an issue.
Do you have any hints on how to support it while I'm doing this?
With friends.
Oh, well, it's 28 inches high.
Yeah.
So do I wrap it in something while I'm lifting it or...?
Usually what I would do is it'd be nice to have some helpers because you're right, you want to minimize breakage. Laying it down on its side can work, but then, you know, the lifting it back up or having a one person holding it in an upright position over a newspaper while another person pulls the pot away from below, having the fresh pot nearby, fresh cactus soil or well-drained potting soil, excuse me, into the new pot and loosening up the roots on the, you know, the root ball and popping it into the new planter, you know, the new pot. But that is the challenge. You do really need to probably have help when it's something that big.
Do you want to come for a coffee?
Very sneakily done.
Well, you know, Frank always likes to learn more. He might be interested.
Oh, okay. But it wouldn't solve the problem, that's for sure. Thanks a lot.
I can direct.
All righty. Hey, The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio. Now, here's a lovely name. Sunday in Pickering, and first-time caller at that, too. Hello, Sunday. Good morning.
Good morning, Frank and Charlie.
Good morning.
I have a beautiful Japanese maple, and there's a couple of dead branches on there. I just wondered when I can cut those out.
Oh, right away.
Okay.
In the spring, even before things leaf out, we can see what's dead,
yeah.
We can see what's diseased, and we can see what's damaged after the winter.
Okay.
And so at any time of the year when you see any of the 3Ds, you have your sharp little pruners in hand, and you remove anything that's dead, diseased, or damaged, regardless of the season. The only limiting factor is don't do it when it's raining. So we try to not wound our plants with the pruning when it's raining, just because it opens up the plant for disease.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
Okay, great. Thank you so
and,
much.
Before you go, Sunday, would you tell me, I said Pickering mistakenly, Turkey Point is where you're calling from. Where exactly is that?
We're just a little bit west of Port Dover.
Oh, right. Okay, in Lake Erie.
Right.
Very good.
Yes.
Okay, thanks for joining the show.
Yeah, thanks
well,
for calling.
You're welcome. Thank you for the info.
Okay.
Our pleasure.
9:38 here on Zoomer Radio. Let's take a little bit of a break right here, and we'll come back to talk to our callers, including Kim from Aurelia, who's next online here on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, storks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And the sous chef of the garden, Frank Proctor, saying a hi, I think, to the president of the International Frank Proctor Fan Club, Kim and Aurelia. Is that right?
You're right, chat. We love Frank.
Okay.
Boy, boy, boy.
Good morning,
something
Kim.
Getting older, his memory's good.
Hey, there you go.
He's holding up pretty well, actually.
Yeah, I know. Wait.
What's going on in Aurelia?
What's going on in Aurelia? I just want to know. I called Charlie before about my split leaf philodendron.
Mm-hmm.
And I have it staked up, but it doesn't seem to work. You told me to use something like a tomato plant thing holder, whatever.
Like a tomato cage? Because this is an indoor plant, and you've got it like leaning up against a wall or in the middle of the room?
Well, it's staked up, and it kind of leans against the wall.
Yeah.
Those stakes don't work. Things that I work don't work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's as old as I am, and I want to keep it.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. So the main thing is to come up with whatever structure you can to provide support. Initially, you're going to tie the plant or direct the plant through the support. I mean, this is a good time of year to go to a garden center and pick up a trellis. I mean, you know, just like a wooden trellis, you know, that's got uprights and cross beams and all that sort of thing. And with the growing tips, you can send them, you know, they're flexible.
Place them properly.
Exactly. Yep. You can put them through the trellis or use very soft. And again, you can pick these things up easily in a garden center now. They'll have tomato ties. So it'll be a little soft, could be little Velcro ties or could be little sort of stretchy, soft green knot twist ties to attach plants to structures, because philodendrons don't have any kind of what's the word I'm looking for? You know,
I don't know.
Appendages that hold on. There's another word for it. So they don't naturally hold on themselves. They will grow roots all over the place, so they're pretty funky looking plants when they get old. So kind of like that orchid that our caller called about earlier, big roots everywhere. The philodendrons can do that as well. But that's all you can really do is just provide whatever support you can. Don't move the pot. You've got to, unfortunately, leave it alone and let the plant do its thing on whatever wall.
So I couldn't repot it or anything now.
Probably with friends, because again, that's a big plant to be fooling around with. So, you know, depending on how...
Get some help.
Yeah, how big it is, and or whether you're prepared...
Are you busy this afternoon, Frank?
I'm a little tied up, unfortunately. Thanks a lot, Kim.
He likes being busy when these questions come up.
Yes, indeed, yeah. Thank you so much, Kim. 9:44, as we check in with another first-time caller. Boy, we've got a number of them this morning.
I know.
Here's that's for Doug in Lindsay. Good morning, Doug.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yes, I'm having a problem with my forsythia. I have no flowers on them this year at all.
Okay, and when did you last prune them?
Last year.
What time of year?
It would have been right around the early part of August.
Okay, so when you pruned it last year, you pruned off the new growth, and that is where your flowers were going to be. So the trick with any flowering shrubs is we prune them, but we prune them right after they flower. And that way the growth that forms after that pruning will have the flower buds for the following year.
Okay.
So
right.
By pruning late like that, you likely pruned off where the flowers would have been.
Okay.
And of course, it was a fairly mild winter, but I still have seen a number of forsythia where the only flowering is right down at the bottom of the plant and the whole top of the plant is green.
Mm-hmm.
And what that tells you is that the bottom of the plant was under snow and it survived those few very cold days we had.
Mm.
The flowers survived, whereas the green was above the snow and those flower buds were frosted off.
So display next year then if I do?
If you do your pruning now, whatever pruning you're going to do between now and next spring, you do it now.
Okay.
and pray for either a mild winter or lots of snow. And because remember, those flower buds are forming in the late summer, early fall in order to be ready to go in early spring.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Very good, Doug. Thank you for reaching us from Lindsay, Ontario. Favorite old stomping ground of mine.
I know.
Yeah. 9:45, not actually a fib to you, 9:46 on a Saturday morning. By the way, we've got a couple of lines open right now.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get a hold of Charlie? This would be an excellent time to call. 416-360-0740 in Toronto. Anywhere else in the province, it's toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. And first-time caller, here we go again.
Your arm's
Valerie.
Getting quite a workout today.
In
good
Mississauga.
Morning.
Valerie, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
What's going on at your place?
Well, we have a Dutch elm tree that we had to have removed.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have growth coming out the trunk of it.
Mm.
And what I want to know, do I let it grow or do I have to cut it off?
So why did you have to have it removed?
Well, they said it was diseased.
Okay. Now, you said it was a Dutch elm, but actually it probably isn't a Dutch elm. Do you think it's a Chinese elm?
I don't know.
Hmm. There are elms and there are elms. Well, so like the American elm, you know, commonly called the American elm, is the one that was attacked by the Dutch elm disease. And likely that isn't what you have in your garden. Likely what you do have is something called a Chinese elm. And they were completely fine in terms of Dutch elm disease. And they grow like weeds. They were often planted as hedges, you know, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, which sprouted up to 40 feet tall overnight and, you know, were never kind of kept under control. And then they ultimately become very weak and diseased and come down and need to come down because of the weakness and the disease within the plant. So that would, if it's a Chinese elm that you have, I would say don't allow it to grow. Just keep cutting off any growth that comes off the trunk. If it's in something else, though, it might be worth keeping. So it's more just a question of, again, maybe you want to take a picture. I need to see the actual leaf, you know, a good close-up of the leaf, and I could probably help you identify what kind of elm it is.
Okay.
Okay.
That might help.
If you're not sure. Because that's...
Yeah, I'm not sure, but this thing is like about 18 feet in diameter.
The trunk, you mean?
Yeah, the trunk. It's like it's an old tree.
Yeah, it is.
18... And it, you know, it was our salvation for shade, but anyways, it had to go down, and I don't know. I just wanted to hope it would grow up again.
So who took it down for you?
It was an arborist.
Okay. So, I mean, go back. Do you have the paperwork that the arborist did? Because the arborist may have written the variety of the tree on the paperwork.
There was a whole slew of them in our area that were all chopped down, so I don't know whether it is a Dutch or whether it's a Chinese or...
Yeah.
Okay. I'll have to look at my paperwork.
Yeah, look at your paperwork. You could also consider calling that arborist. Just call, because how long ago was the tree taken out?
Last fall.
Yeah. So, I mean, you could always go backwards and call that arborist and just say, you know, you took a tree down and this is what's happening. Can you tell me, should I allow, it'd be called a sucker, the new growth that's coming off the root.
Sucker.
Should you allow the sucker to grow, or is this something that is, you know, bad idea and something brand new should go in close by?
Okay.
Because you're right. So the shade is so important and we need our trees. We really appreciate our shade. So, and the canopy does so much for the environment and for our own personal comfort. So,
true.
Something, you know, you need to get something in there. If not that original tree, then a different variety. But like I say, the arborist will be very familiar with what he or she did. So maybe try them. And if that fails, send me an email.
That's great. I thank you very much. And happy birthday, Frank.
Oh, thank you very much, Valerie. I appreciate
that. Okay, take care.
Thanks for calling.
We'll be back to say hi to Ellen in Brantford in just a couple of moments. You're listening to AM 740 Zoomer Radio, 96.7 FM in downtown Toronto.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And Charlie, we're off to Brantford right now to say hi to Ellen. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm calling about my tropical plant. I believe it's pronounced croton, C-R-O-T-O-N.
Yep, croton, yep.
I have 15 of them, and I overwinter them and put them out in the summer, and they're usually spectacular. But this last winter, they... all the leaves fell off, and they look like little skeletons. They're starting to rebud. I've put Miracle-Gro on them, and I've been trying to do something with them. Should I repot them into new soil so this doesn't happen again the coming winter?
So what you do is you leave them in pots, you put them out for the summer, you bring them in for the winter. How do you overwinter them?
I just put them in the living room.
Oh.
And usually, well, for two winters, they've been just as beautiful in the living room.
Right, yeah, like a houseplant, yeah.
Yes, but this last winter, the leaves were falling off, and they started out beautiful, but as I said, now they're pretty much little skeletons with tiny wee green buds on the stem.
Okay, so what I would suggest is, first we have to go back to why the leaves fell off, because you were doing everything right, you had them in a sunny window, you weren't overwatering, you've done this for two winters already. So when a croton suddenly starts losing its leaves, or 15 crotons suddenly start losing their leaves, the first thing I suspect is spider mites, which is it's an insect, but technically it's not. It's a tiny, tiny spider that sucks the juices from the plant, from the leaves. And you won't see them because they're so tiny, but you will see webbing. So way back when it had leaves, back in December, January, February, you could have potentially, if spider mites were on the plants, have seen webbing across where the leaf and the stems come together. There's a little angular crotch there.
Yes, I did see that.
And if you saw webbing, then you would suspect spider mite, and that's what would ultimately kill the plants.
Right.
So I would have, at that point, suggested you use a product called End All. So E-N-D-A-L-L.
But, okay.
But that's done. Those leaves have fallen. You've removed, and those leaves have gone out to the compost. What I would do is I would give all these plants a really thorough soap and water bath. I would cut them back a little bit to try and get those buds to pop, because there's life still in the roots, so they want to grow. So give them what they need. Give them light. Be careful to not overwater. And Miracle-Gro is a great idea, but just the once. Wait before you've got some more leaves happening before you fertilize again. And cross your fingers. They should come back, but pruning them back will force out the growth more quickly. Make sure they're in good sun. Certainly they can be outside now. We don't seem to have any frost at all in the forecast. So get them outside. Get them in as much light as you possibly can, so that when those new leaves grow, they're ready for all this beautiful sunshine that's coming. And then you should have them smaller maybe than last year, but you should have them again to have out in the garden this year.
Yes, I will try that. I will do that. Thank you.
But that's what I would have suspected at the time, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Ellen. Yeah, indeed. Hey, gosh, second time this morning, we're off to Aurelia.
Mm-hmm.
This time, another first-time caller. Hey, Lisa, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for having my call. It's always a pleasure to listen to you. I listened to you with a very good friend. You made him very happy. And we always heard questions about amaryllis, and we kind of chuckled. But I have a story about my husband fertilizing a little amaryllis with a Q-tip, and I got seeds, and I started a base, and I have a baby, and I just don't know how to get her to flower now.
Wait, patience.
Yes.
That little baby has, it's going to take a couple of years.
Okay.
So that little baby is a tiny, tiny little bulb, and that bulb is going to very slowly, over the next few years, get bigger and bigger based on the leaves absorbing sunshine and converting sunshine into carbohydrates, which is going to build the bulb bigger. So at some point, the bulb is going to be big enough and mature enough to set a flower, but it's a good 4 or 5 years from now.
Okay, out in the sunshine in the summer,
sure.
And then back in for a rest, and then
exactly.
Give her a little bit in the spring again.
Well, some people even keep amaryllis, never let it rest. They'll just keep it growing. Unless it decides to just rest on its own, they'll just water. As long as the plant is using water, they'll water it, keep it in the sunshine. Don't force it to rest. It may choose to do so,
okay,
but otherwise...
Okay, that's kind of what I've been doing.
Yeah, yeah. And
my friend Bob loved your show.
Oh,
you made
lovely.
Him so happy.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you. Happy birthday, Frank.
Thank you, Lisa.
Take care.
You bet. Alrighty. Thank you so much. We do have time for one more caller here.
You
golly.
Think?
Yeah, Richmond Hill.
Okay.
This might be a friend of yours, I think. Eleanor in Richmond Hill?
No,
I'm not sure.
That's,
no?
Where are we? Thornhill.
Oh, Thornhill.
Close,
pardon me.
Though. Thornhill's close.
Yeah. Hi, Eleanor.
Good morning.
Okay, I'm here. I was reading the paper in between. Sorry.
Oh, no worries.
I have a plant. Someone gave me a plant. It's beautiful green leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And then for flowering... The stem comes, there's a stem, and at the end of the stem, it looks like, say, it's white, and it looks like a Q-tip. That's what the stem looks like. And it makes a red leaf. Then the red leaf stays for a while, then shrivels up and dies.
Okay.
Do you know what kind of plant it is?
Okay, green stem, white tip, looks like a Q-tip, red leaves that, sounds like a poinsettia, red leaves that fall off. Okay, when did you get this plant?
In March.
In March.
As a gift.
Okay, I wonder, you know what, do you have access to the internet?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, even just go to your local library and you could look up a plant called Anthurium, A-N-T-H-U-R-I-U-M. Anthurium is what it could be because they do have red flowers that look a lot like leaves, and that might be what you're thinking of. And they're very popular now, and they're very popular right around Valentine's Day. So February, March time, I saw a lot available in the store. So I bet you that's what it is. All righty.
Okay. Thank you very much, Eleanor. Scant description, but I think you nailed it. You might have nailed it.
I hope so. That's one of those mystery plants.
Yes. Hey, we're just about done here.
Oof.
On a Saturday morning, at least.
Yes, indeed. And I'm buying you steak and eggs.
I'm going to check out the menu there at the Grenadier Restaurant in Hyde Park.
I mean,
Park. If they got pheasant under glass.
Oh, pheasant under glass.
Since you're paying.
Yeah, that's correct. It's on me. So that's why I thought I'd like take it up a notch to steak and eggs. But we can, I'll phone ahead for that.
All right.
Pheasant
we'll negotiate.
Under glass.
Thanks, Charlie. And
you're
thank
welcome.
You, folks, for all the good wishes. I appreciate that.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, everybody, for all your great questions. I appreciate that. And I guess you're busy here. Doors open.
Yeah.
You're on deck.
That's right.
People are coming through.
1 to 3:30.
Waving at the crowd.
Neil Headley, our main guy, is going to be with us.
Our program director.
Yeah.
Well, that's very special.
Exactly so.
You have a ton of fun with Neil. And thank you so much, Sebastian. Couldn't do it without all your help. See you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.